Thank God for his awesome presence here tonight. Tonight I want to speak to you share a message with you that I've entitled, A Faith That Inspires. A Faith That Inspires. Now, there are some here tonight who may not know me, and you might think, hey, isn't that the guy who does announcements? Pastor Carter calls me the M.A., Master of Announcements. And that's true, that it's me. Praise God. But I also have the privilege of working with the young people in this church. And one of the things I have the privilege of doing is every Friday night meeting with about 700 young people that come out every Friday to our youth meeting called The Gate. And it's amazing. That's the average. The number sometimes goes up and it comes down, but that's the average that we have. And it's amazing just seeing what God is doing in the lives of these young people. And for me, it's just a great joy to even talk about them and even maybe tonight to share a couple of testimonies with you about what God is doing there and what I've seen the Lord do there, and hope and pray that your faith will be inspired and that you will leave from this place with a faith that inspires others around you. Tonight, I think of when I first got started with the young people, and there were about 9 disgruntled kids in the youth ministry, and they were disgruntled because there were so many leaders that had come and gone. And I remember I used to get up, and before I used to minister, I had somebody who would lead in song. And when they would lead in song, none of the kids would stand, none of them would worship. But then as we continued to pray for the ministry and for the young people there, all of a sudden, over time, God began to get a hold of one young girl in that ministry, one young girl in that group of those 9 kids, that handful of kids. And I began to watch as the word of God just began to sink into her heart, and as faith began to rise in her heart, and as the songs were being sung week after week, and how all of a sudden a light came into her eyes and it began to click, and everything she was singing and hearing through the preached word of God and everything her mom was sowing into and her dad were sowing into her at home began to click, and the lights came on. And I remember one Friday, she, out of all the kids, she stood up and just began to worship. And I remember all the kids just looking at her, you know, like, what's wrong with you? You know, and thinking to themselves, I know they were thinking, you know, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? You know, this is weird. You know, what's happening with you? And they were looking at her, and I knew some were looking at her with like daggers in their eyes, trying to intimidate her and trying to get her to sit back down. And others, you know, would make fun of her. But faith had begun to fill her soul, you see. God had begun to get a grip of her heart. And see, that's what faith will do when it comes into your soul. It changes you. God begins to change you as you believe his word and as you allow his word to begin to take root. And so that's what began to happen. And she, all of a sudden, because of her faith, became a model. She became an example to the others to emulate. And she began to inspire others around her to believe God as well, because she had chosen to believe the word of the Lord. She had chosen to trust God. And so tonight we're talking about a faith that inspires. And I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. And while you turn there, Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to read something to you from the Gospel of John chapter 1, just to kind of set a background here, set the stage here. Genesis chapter 3, you can leave the Word of God open, your Bible open on your lap, and I just want to read to you from the Gospel of John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created that wasn't created through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Verse 14 says, and the Word became human and made his home among us, and he was full of unfailing love, full of grace and faithfulness, grace and truth. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Who are we talking about here? Jesus. None other than Jesus himself. The Bible says God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. Gospel of Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all animals, wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful, its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Tonight, I want to speak to you about 4 points I want to bring to you. One is about Adam. The second one is going to be about the second Adam. The third one is going to be about a type of person that God raises up to become a pace setter, a person that God raises up to be a type of pace setter. And then the last point will be about the power that God gives to those who will respond to his call and enables them to be a pace setter. First, let's talk about Adam. The Bible tells us that Adam was created by God for God. Do you agree? God gave life to Adam. The breath of God was in Adam's nostrils, was in Adam's lungs. Adam was supposed to be a model to show forth the way of life. He was supposed to represent the way of life. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 5, verse 14 tells us that Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. He should have been an example to lead men to the way of life. He should have been an example of someone who had chosen to believe God, a type of pace setter in his faith, if you will. What is a pace setter? It's a person, a group, or an organization that is most progressive or successful and serves as a model to imitate. A person, a group, an organization that is most progressive, that has made the most progress, and they serve as a model to be imitated. So I want you to keep that image in your mind, a model to be imitated. But Adam failed. Adam bought the lie of the devil. The devil got Adam to question and doubt God's word. Genesis 3:1 says, "One day he," the serpent, "asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat?'" Did God really say that? The devil came, as he always does, with a question about God. And he found a listening ear. Folks, that's dangerous. When we listen to the enemy, it's never good. The devil found a listening ear. He was after Adam's faith in the word of God. He was after Adam's convictions. Did the Lord really say that? Did God say that? And in that question, the devil was insinuating some other things as well. First of all, he was calling into question God's love. And he got Adam to question God's love. Satan's attack is always, his first attack is always on the love of God. Have you noticed that? None of us are immune to this type of attack. He'll tell you that God is mad at you. He'll tell you that God is withholding something from you, that God is trying to hold you back. He'll ask questions like, "If God is love, what about this? Or what about that? Or what about some other thing?" Have you ever heard that argument before? Have you ever been speaking to someone and they'll say, well, if God is love, then what about this or that? Why did this happen or that happen? The devil will come to you and he'll say, if God loves you, why did he let this happen? You know, you could be doing so much more. Or you could have so much more. You know, you could be wealthy. You could do this. You could do that. If God loved you, why is he limiting you? Why is he holding you back? How many of us have had to face these accusations from hell? He calls into question God's love. Secondly, he will come and he'll question God's integrity, God's honesty, whether God can be trusted or not. For example, when God has given you a word, a promise, the enemy will come to you and he'll question you concerning that. And the devil got Adam to question whether God could be trusted. Did God really say that? You won't die. The enemy questioned God's faithfulness. It's not true. You won't die. In essence, the devil was saying, God can't be trusted. He's withholding something from you. You could be like God. And in other words, you can be your own God. Satan wanted man to become independent of God. The devil wanted man to listen to him instead of God, so that Satan could ultimately take the place of God in man's life. Does that make sense tonight? And we all know what happened. Adam chose to act independently of God. He went from a place of faith to a place of unbelief. And as a result, he sinned. And subsequently, Adam, who was supposed to represent the way of life, became a representation of the way of death. What is the way of death? It is the way that turns from God to self, from God to independence. There is no longer a reliance on God, faith in God, a trust in God. Now there's a reliance on our own reasoning. I am governed by my own desires, my own will. I become independent in my judgment, my desires, and my will. And the Bible says, because of sin, the wages of sin is death. So the soul that sins, it will die. And that's what the Bible decrees. And so death passed to all men. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race, and Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Verse 18 of the same chapter says, Adam's sin brought condemnation upon everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many people became sinners. What are the consequences of sin? You see sin spiraling downward. You see the effects of it causing one to spiral downward very quickly. When you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says, suddenly they felt shame where there was no shame before. And maybe tonight you've walked in this place with a load of shame. Maybe it's a load of shame because of the things you've done, or maybe things you haven't done. Or maybe it might be a load of shame, like I shared with the young people on Friday night, because of things that were done to you. For example, abuse in the past. And you're walking around with a load of guilt and a load of shame. The Bible says in verse 8, as a result, they went into hiding. And there are some here tonight that have gone into hiding. You've been in hiding for years because of shame and because of sin and because of the things in your life. Verse 10 says it brought fear. Their actions brought fear. And the Bible says fear torments tonight. And there are so many in this generation that are fearful seeing the things coming on the earth. So many running to therapists, looking to be drugged, just trying to cope with the days we're living in. One thing I've noticed on the way home are all the bars and the wineries that are opening up. Places selling booze. and the people that are flooding in there just to get something, a fix, just to numb the pain. The Bible says Satan deceived them, verse 13. Verse 16, pain came as a result of sin. Verse 17 says that they would struggle for the rest of their lives. Verse 23 says there was banishment from the paradise of God. Chapter 4, verse 5, you see the first occurrence of anger. Verse 8, you see murder. Verse 9, you see lying to cover up that murder. And so you see how quickly things begin to spiral out of control. And worst of all, you see a separation from God's life-giving presence just because of a choice to live a life independently of God, or independent choices that are made without consulting God Almighty. But folks, I've come to tell you there's hope tonight. I said there's hope tonight. Hallelujah. Christ, who is known as the second Adam, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, hallelujah, the Prince of Peace, he stepped in on the scene. The Bible tells us about the second Adam, who came and represents the way to life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Christ came and accomplished what Adam could not do. Where Adam failed, Christ came and said, it is finished, and fulfilled the commission. He is the life. He is the source of all life. The scripture tells us that he that hath the Son hath life. So tonight, if you know him, you know life. And if you don't know him, you can know him tonight. And if you do, you will know life. Hallelujah. He said, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, that you might have life to the fullness, that you might know what this life is for, why you here, why I created you. John 1 says, in him was life, and that life became the light of men, was the light of men. There is hope in Jesus tonight. You don't have to walk out here the same way you came in. You can be free tonight. You can be free from depression. You can be free from pornography. You can be free from drug addiction. You can be free from fits of rage. You can be free from depression, from sadness. You can be free tonight. Hallelujah. From hopelessness. For he whom the Son sets free is truly free. In him is life. And that life is the light of men. For those that sit in darkness have seen a great light. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Tonight I want you to notice something about the second Adam, Christ. The Bible says he chose to live a life of faith and dependence on God the Father. He always turned from self to the Father. From independence to dependence. With Jesus, there was no consulting of self, no reliance on self, no self-preservation, no looking to his own will. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, he said, I am come to do the will of him that sent me. He said, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus said, I do nothing unless I see the Father doing it. He constantly turned from self and independence to God and his word. And we see an incredible example of this when the enemy came to tempt him. And he responded with, it is written. Satan, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus became the ultimate pace setter, the ultimate model to imitate, if you will. He is the firstborn among many brethren, the scripture tells us. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the heir, and we are joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. He said it is finished. So now the work of God is to believe. So for the Christian, it's going to be, I'm going to set the pace by believing. I'm going to set the pace by believing. Hallelujah. What are the benefits of believing? What are the blessings of believing God's word and trusting in Jesus Christ? First of all, there's freedom from shame. You don't have to walk out of here with that load of shame tonight. You can be free. It doesn't matter what's in your closet. It doesn't matter how long this thing has gone on. It doesn't matter how long you've been bound. It doesn't matter how many altar calls you've responded to. It doesn't matter how many candles you've burnt. You can be free. There is freedom from shame. Hallelujah. 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 Freedom from shame. There's no need to hide. You can come out of the closet for all the right reasons tonight. You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to be ashamed anymore. You don't have to be looking over your shoulder wondering if you're going to be caught. You can be free tonight. You can have peace tonight. There's a boldness and a courage instead of fear. The devil can't deceive you anymore because God's word becomes a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Hallelujah. I always get this picture in my mind, you know, the enemy just having a deck of cards that he's wanting to deal us. And he's wanting to throw at us. And it's all of a sudden, it's like God just comes and goes like this. Because through his word, he becomes to light up your path. He begins to show you what the enemy is trying to do. He begins to expose every lie and every attempt, every snare. And you as a bird, you go free. Hallelujah. He springs the trap of the fowler so that the little bird goes free, like Proverbs says. Hallelujah. There's no more pain caused by sin because you walk in freedom. There's no more striving. There's a rest that comes because we've ceased from our own works, trying to work things out in our own strength, trying to figure things out. There's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. God comes and he begins to fulfill every one of his promises in your life when you begin to believe him and when you trust in Christ. We are accepted in the beloved. Where there was once banishment, now we're accepted. We're accepted. You might be lonely tonight. Maybe you come in and walk out and you feel like you don't have a friend in the world. You know, there are so many folks that battle loneliness. You can be in a room this large and feel like the loneliest person on the face of the earth. And God can deliver you from that. First of all, he'll reveal to you that he is your friend, your best friend, friend that sticks closer than a brother. But not only that, he'll give you friends. When I came to Christ and I laid down that old life of independence, all my friends, they began to flee and take off. But you know what? God gave me hundreds of other friends. Hallelujah. It didn't happen overnight, but over time, he began to give me friends that would influence me in the right way. Do you understand what I'm talking about tonight? We are accepted in the beloved, and there is an abundant life that begins to fill your soul that is revealed to you. But like Christ in the world, we are called not to just hold this thing to ourselves. He said, freely you've received it, now freely give it. We are called to be pace setters in this generation, like pace setters, a type of pace setter, if you will, a model for others to imitate. Tonight, I think of a young lady who shared her testimony with me, wrote her testimony down. She said, my astronomy professor asked the class, why are we here on Earth? She said, I simply answered, because God made it that way. The whole class ganged up on me, cursing me and telling me I was stupid to believe in God. I felt very intimidated and sad because of how the people were so lost and angry. Then this one girl tells me she's an atheist. And she says, there is no God. The conversation got a little heated due to the point of me defending Jesus, she admitted. When I left the class, I felt so shocked and sad for those people and began to cry and called someone to pray with me. I prayed that night for God to show himself to the girl and to those in the class. The next day, God put in my heart to apologize, and I had no idea how to approach this girl. So I told God he had to do it through me because my flesh did not want to apologize. After the comments she had insulted me with. But I obeyed, and he made a way for me to apologize to her and to share my testimony. She ends up inviting me to McDonald's and cried about 5 times listening to what I was telling her about the Bible and my testimony. She said to me that no one has ever taken the time to share the Bible with her or even about Jesus. A week later, I invited her to the gate, and she came last Friday and began to weep and answered the altar call. Hallelujah. And she said she had never prayed before, but she cried when we were praying. She gets saved, and she says, and all she says is that she's all she's ever wanted is happiness and wants to keep coming back. She had paid so close attention to the preaching on Friday about how we should become pace setters to others, and she called me a pace setter because I had led her to the Lord. Speaking of this young girl who had brought her to church, this is from a person who had no hope, no belief, no nothing. And this young girl who brought her to church says, I have been in a shock ever since because God did a miracle right before my own eyes. Only God could do that. Praise him. And this young girl's mom is actually a Buddhist. The young girl, the atheist, who got saved on Friday. And the young girl, the Christian, sent me a text message today. And in the text message, she mentioned that this girl was, and I have it for you right here. She says, sorry to bother you. Just had to share that Annie is now ministering to her friends and is actually asking me for scriptures to help her share with her friends. From Friday, the altar, to the hallways with a faith that inspires. Hallelujah. As believers, we are called to a life that is nothing short of supernatural. We are called to represent the way of life. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8:29, the Bible says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him should become like his son, should be conformed to the image of his son, so that his son would be the first with many brothers. What does that conformity look like? I ask you tonight. It's not rocket science. It's not mystical. It's simply you and I placing our faith in God. Dependence on God. Reliance on God. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. We don't lean on our own understanding, our own reasoning. We acknowledge him in all our ways. We cling to his word, his promises, his desires, his will. And he, God, directs our paths. Hallelujah. It's that simple, folks. The Bible says the steps of the godly are ordered of the Lord. Another translation says established. Established. You don't have to be on a roller coaster of faith tonight, up and down, roller coaster, in your Christian walk. You can be established. He establishes us. And as a result, we lead people to Christ, who is the life. We become a type of pace setter by our faith and thus inspire others to believe God as well. By standing out in the crowd saying, I'm going to take God at his word and believe him. You will influence others by your faith. A faith that inspires. Didn't Jesus say, you are the light of the world? Our lives point others to Christ. But you have to settle the issue. Jesus was despised and rejected, and we will be too. But Christ brought life. And he'll use you to become an agent. He'll use you as an agent of life. The Bible says, as many as received him, he gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Folks, it doesn't matter what people say or look like. I think of this young girl with her arguments. They are not whole. There is no peace to the wicked. They are not satisfied or happy. They are not whole. We think of it tonight. We are a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. It is not enough to be emotionally, mentally, or physically healthy. To be whole, a person has to be spiritually healthy as well. Does that make sense? Yes. This is only possible when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. We must be willing to repent, to turn from sin and death to Christ, who is the author of life. The power to be a type of pace setter. Where does it come from? The Bible says, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, lives in you, he will also quicken you. He will also make you alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can praise him tonight. The Holy Ghost is a life-giving spirit. He enables me to live that supernatural life that we're talking about tonight. The Spirit of God enables me to be a type of inspiration by my faith, if you will. If I stay dependent on God daily, he will live his life in and through me. There are people here tonight that have bought the lie of the enemy. The enemy has caused you to doubt God's word. You've not been fully committed to Christ because you've been focusing on what you don't have instead of what you do have. You've been longing for, pursuing the things of this world only to find yourself enslaved to these desires. I've come to tell you the devil is a liar. God's not done with you yet. He does love you. And he is faithful. He has a plan for your life. And he can be trusted. He satisfies. If you will come to him tonight. Tonight I want to give an invitation for those that may be backslidden and drifted from the Lord. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've never been born again. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. But you came in here tonight and you've sensed the presence of God in the atmosphere. And you felt good in this place. You felt peace in this place. That's the presence of God. Maybe you don't know that, but that is the presence of God tonight. And if you will respond to him, if you'll come to him tonight, and I'm going to give an invitation in a moment. If you'll come to him tonight, if you'll join me here at the front and you give your life over to him, he will change you. He will transform you. He'll lift that load of sin and shame and guilt off your shoulders. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll give you a new life, his life, and you'll never be the same again. There are many others here who are already making a difference for good. Hear me tonight. You're a believer, you're a Christian, and we thank God for that. But I want to ask you, are there areas where you're limiting God because of fear of unbelief or unbelief? Are there areas where he has limited access because of fear and or unbelief? This is something the Lord dealt with me about a couple of weeks ago. Limiting God in certain areas. God, I'll go this far. And I didn't even know it was there until he showed it to me. I'll go this far. And the Lord began to show me that. Is that you tonight? I want to invite you to step out of the crowd to believe on the second Adam, on Christ. No matter what anyone else says, and allow God to infuse you with the faith that inspires. Everyone who hears what the Spirit is saying, I want to invite you to get out of your seat and come to this altar. Whether you feel weak or strong, adequate or inadequate, qualified or unqualified, the Holy Spirit is here to help you tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's stand all over this house. Hallelujah. There's freedom in Christ tonight. Come and receive your freedom. Don't let the devil hold you back. Don't let him keep you back. Don't let him lie to you any longer. You will never be the same after tonight. I tell you that on the authority of the Word of God. You will never be the same. You can be free from that prison tonight. You can be free from that captivity tonight. You can be free from fear tonight, anxiety, worry, by simply trusting in him, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. We're going to worship to give those in the balcony and those in the annex an opportunity to come as well. And then we're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Do you know God's not mad at you? He loves you. He knows everything about you. Every single thing about you. Yet he was willing to go to a cross to prove his love. The Bible says the shepherd will leave the 99 sheep and go after the one. That's how important you are to God. That's how important you are to God. He loves you so much, he's even taken, the scripture says, he takes the time to number every hair on our head. That's how concerned he is about us. What a God. So he's been watching over you, and that's why you're still here. He's not done with you yet. But you need to know tonight that he loves you and that he can be trusted tonight. How many were backslidden and you're coming back to the Lord? Or maybe you can raise your hand, or maybe tonight this is your first time responding to an altar call like this in front of a church like this. Anybody here, this is your first time coming to the front of a church like this? Praise God. Thank God. Thank God for you tonight. Thank God for you tonight. Awesome. Awesome. This is the greatest decision you will ever make in your entire existence. I want to pray with these that have responded. For the sake of these that have responded, I want to lead you just in a simple prayer, just acknowledging your need of God and inviting Him to be your Lord and Savior. Those of you who are coming back to the Lord and those that are here for the first time. And then we're going to pray with everyone else who's responded as well tonight. But let's pray together. Won't you pray with me tonight? Jesus Christ, Son of God, I acknowledge tonight that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Would you come into my life and be Lord of all? Take complete control. I believe that you died and rose again so that I would know that I could have eternal life in you. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that tonight I can be forgiven. Forgive me. I don't want to live in sin anymore. Use me for your glory. From this moment on, I renounce everything of evil. And I invite you, Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, to fill me, to guide me, to change me. In Jesus' name. I thank you tonight that the devil no longer has a claim on me. I belong to Jesus. I'm rolling with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.